This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord.
You know, if your husband don't treat you right, or if your wife don't treat you right, well, don't retaliate against your mate. Go to the throne. Tell your father. He can do things to me and Ty that nobody else can do. Is that right? He can get our attention when nobody else can. But the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He can get your attention. So what's this guy supposed to do to our wives? Love them. Like Christ loved the church. And if you don't, our wives, when they learn how to sick the big brother on us by going to the throne of grace, they don't have to say nothing to us. If they retaliate to you, they can't do nothing to you. But when they don't say a thing to you, you just walk in love. When they go to the throne of grace, say, Dad, I got this problem. He said, oh, my daughter, yeah, what can I do for you today? You guys that are daddies that got little girls, you know how you are to those little daughters, don't you? Yeah, sure. You'll do things for them little daughters you won't do for them little boys. Is that right? Oh, isn't that amazing? That's just the way it is. Them little girls melt us guys' hearts. Them little granddaughters, our own little daughters. Oh, my goodness, what we do for those girls. Oh, then it says, for it became him, in verse 10, for whom are all things, and he whom are all things, in bringing many sons under glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers. You are a brother or a daughter of God. Amen. I can't think of nobody I'd rather have as my big brother Oscar than Jesus. Can you? No, I can't either. Not nobody. Praise God. Saying, I will declare your name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto you. Boy, that should be easy for us to do. That's what we were doing a while ago. And especially when we sing, and that's something, it is well with my soul. Oh, that's an awesome song. It is well with my soul. I know what my destiny holds, and I know who holds my destiny. And again, I will put my trust in Him, in Jesus. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He, Jesus, also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who are through fear of death were all their life subject to bondage. Think about what He just said there. It took me years to get a hold of that. When I got a hold of that, I read that and I thought, how in the world did He do that? How did, by becoming flesh and blood and dying, did He defeat him that had the power of death, that is the devil? How did He do that? I meditated on that. I prayed over that. I studied that. Only me and God knows how many times I studied that and read that and I didn't understand it. And from reading all of the Scripture, Genesis 9:6 says, when a man kills an innocent man, his blood shall be required of him. That's a law we have, isn't it? But that's written in the Word of God. So that's a spiritual law, because the Word of God is spiritual law. We have a physical law that says if you come out and take my life without just cause, your life can be taken of you. One day that locked in to me. That's what Jesus did. Jesus came from the Father through a woman and became a man on this earth, took flesh and blood. Well, the devil tried everything in the world to kill him from day one, and he couldn't do it. He tried to get him to sin every way in the world, and he could not. Jesus would absolutely refuse to sin. Then one day, in in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it makes a statement. If the principalities and powers had have known what they were doing, they would have not crucified the Son of Glory. I'd heard all kinds of people say, well, I crucified Jesus. Or the Jews crucified Jesus. Or the Pharisees crucified Jesus. None of that's true. The principalities and powers crucified Jesus. The scripture says Satan crucified Jesus. When he tried to kill him and tried to get him to fall in sin, and he would not, in 1 Corinthians 2, I think it's 1 Corinthians 2, I'm going to read that right quick to make sure I'm not wrong, since every time I make a mistake when I don't go look up something, somebody calls me back and says, that's not true. I read that scripture and that's not what it says. Okay, let me make sure that I'm in the right place. 1 Corinthians 2, 9, 8. Oh, it was verse 8. Sorry, it was verse 8. But none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 1 Corinthians 2, 8. So Satan and his hosts crucified the Son of Glory, and he thought that this is the only man on the earth that's ever been here since Adam. He has no sin. I can't get him to sin, so I just kill him. I've tried everything. Nothing works, so I'm going to kill him. So he did. He moved by his demons into the hearts and bodies of men and women, and men and women took Jesus. But actually, the battle was a spiritual battle. So the demons of hell in these people took Jesus to the cross, and they physically put a physical body on the cross, and they killed a man that had no sin in him, none whatsoever. And then as soon as he gave his life on that cross, and he died on that cross, immediately he descended into the lowest hell to pay the price for you and me. And after 3 days, the Father raised him from the dead because there was no sin in him, and death could not hold him. Now then, when he came back to life, the devil had to go underground because he is now defeated and destroyed for the simple reason that he took an innocent man's life. Now then, Jesus can stand before you and say, all power in heaven and earth given to me. How much power? All. That don't leave the devil none, does it? He that had the power of death, that is the devil, has now been defeated. So what do? The Lord says, now go and sin no more. And if you do not sin and you keep all my commandments, you shall never see death. That's a little more than you can grasp, isn't it? That's really a little more than the average Christian can grasp. He even says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, that death has already been destroyed. That takes a little. When you think about it, he destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. And then when he goes over here in 2 Timothy and makes this statement, this is really, it really, I read this verse, there's no telling how many times I read this verse. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10, you got to start thinking like God to grasp this verse. You can't grasp this verse in the flesh. And if you're in the flesh today, this will go right over your head, 90 miles up. But if you're in the Spirit, you'll begin to get a hold of this scripture. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's good news, isn't it? Now, how are you going to walk in that? It's going to take some kind of faith to claim that. Every time I come to church, I have people walk up to me and say, you know, you look younger and more vibrant today than you did last Sunday. I says, praise God. I mean, I'm on fire for Jesus. I mean, we've had couples out there that be my age, you know, and Cheryl and me will be ministering to them. And after it's all over, we might be talking. I said, you know, realize that guy's my age? She said, oh, no, he wasn't your age. I said, yeah, he said he was born same year I was, or a year before me, or a year after me, or whatever. She said, oh, no, that guy's old. She said, you ain't old. Well, the other night we went to bed together, and I said, well, your 16-year-old feels like he's 18 tonight. Because I had worked hard on top of those buildings, and I'd climbed around on them ladders, and I'd been out there working, climbing on my knees, and I'd doing all kinds of stuff, lifting them big old sheets of metal. Dave and I was everything, and we'd worked hard all day, and then I ministered to people till way up in the night. We started at 8 o'clock that morning, and finally at 1:30 in the morning, when Cheryl and I went to bed, I said, your 16-year-old's 18 tonight. I'd aged a couple of years that day. But 18's not bad, is it? You can still do some wonderful things at 18. You can have lots of fun at 18. You know. But see, you got to see yourself like this. If my king, our king, your king, my king, has already appeared on this earth and has abolished death and has brought life, life, abundant life. He come to give you what? Life, and give it to you abundantly. And immortality to light through the gospel. Somebody said, well, we're going to have immortality when we get to heaven. No, you got it right now if you know it. It's already here. But I'm going to guarantee you, it takes walking in a new level of faith to walk in this. It takes walking in a new level of faith. How many people do you know that have been prayed for multitudes of times and never got a healing? And then they came over here, and we got them to repent of their sins, and they got prayed for, and they got healed. I believe the word. But you know what I teach you? Like somebody, Miss Bobby back there was saying a while ago, she heard me say on one of my tapes, a preacher asked me the other day, he said, how many speaking engagements have you had this year compared to last year? I said, probably a third. He said, I knew it. He said, why? He said, because when you come to our area and you spoke in the three churches you did, he said, man, your gospel is hard to follow. Well, what is my gospel? It's the gospel. It's what's written.
We have to stop right there. But if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org, and there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.